Hey, this is Jeff. We'll get to the show in a second. If you want to support the show or find back episodes of the show or find our other podcasts or find articles or quotes on early learning, all that kind of stuff is over at playvolutionhq.com. We're trying to curate the early learning world. Check it out. Here's the show. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio in studio with Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I am good. How are you?
Great. You just got a little snack. We chased the dogs a little bit. We've been getting a refresher course in Playface the last couple days watching Gigi and Zwe goof around.
That could actually be its own episode. Yeah. It's actually, I think you've only always ever had one dog. And
not much play face off the cats.
But two dogs in the house, very much a lot of play face, a lot of wrestling, and sometimes play face that doesn't look like play face, in all honesty.
To those of us who aren't playing.
To those of
they,
us who aren't
playing.
They
seem to get it.
Yeah, exactly. Like there was no other noises. And I've been hearing them for how long have I been here now? 3, 4, or 5 days. And you'll hear that woo, you know, which is like, oh, too much. And then it's respected and then they get on with the playing. But I mean, I see some shiny
white teeth. Hackles up.
Is that what that's called? The hackles are up and the jaw like pulled, not jaw, they're like lips. I don't know.
Dog lips
like pulled back. Like if you just walked in and only, if I just took a picture of that, unless you saw the entire context, you might have a reaction and say, that's not play. And yet it has been the entire time I've been here.
And I think we do the same thing with kids sometimes. It gets a little bit uncomfortable for the adults observing, and yet the players are still at play.
Exactly.
When it's sometimes, I mean, obviously rough and tumble play, but other times when they're playing death play or other play that is high in emotion, because we have to remember not all play is happy unicorns and cotton candy. Some of it goes some deep, dark kind of places and can get very real for the children and can almost seem too real to us as observers, and yet the people playing are still engaged in play.
Right. So that reminder to everybody listening, freely chosen can quit when you're done, and if the kids know those, quote, rules of play, they know that they can leave if it's too much for them.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about
today.
What are we talking about today?
Because it's been a while since I've actually been in the studio, and it's been very exciting, and there's this huge, beautiful magnetic board in the studio filled with 3x5 index cards of topics that have popped up through the years, this one, it was nice. It was about me, but I remembered what it was. Because, you know, sometimes the months have gone by and you're like, I have no idea what this was. What? But you said you were going to remember. I didn't. So this one, I don't remember how it came about, but Lisa Large Motor Gear doing personal research. And it took me a minute to figure out what that was.
That wasn't years. That was 3 weeks ago.
No. But I mean, some of the other ones have been up there for years. No, this one I knew was not from years ago, which is probably the only reason why I remembered it. And I knew we were having the research episodes that we recorded with Tiff, and I thought this would be fun to toss out there. I don't know how long this episode would be, but I wanted to share with everybody that had I known better, had I known what doing research, that research wasn't just something that you read in a journal about, that you could actually ask a question yourself and conduct some research. If I had the opportunity to go back and do this particular thing differently, I totally would. When I was doing family childcare, I was gifted all of the large motor metal equipment that I played on as a 3, 4, and 5-year-old at Mary's Nursery School. So if you've heard my keynote, I tell the story of my first day of school. in Livermore, California. And anyway, at the end of the day, what ended up happening was the state of California had made this some asinine rule that if you still had metal equipment, you had to witness its destruction. You had to notarize it. I mean, it was just completely obnoxious. And somehow in the middle of all of this, I got in touch with the school where all that equipment like had been moved to after Mary closed mm-hmm. the school. And the nursery school. And I called her and I said, hey, so I'm willing to rent a trailer and come up and get that if you are willing to give it to me. And she said, yes. So we drove up from San Diego up to San Francisco. We loaded it all back in. And let me tell you, it was beautiful. So here's the pre and post. Here's what I wish I had known. At the time, all the kids in the program were about 18 months to young threes, right? Nobody really over. And it wasn't that I had noticed any language delays at all. It's just that literally, no exaggeration, within 1 week of these large motor pieces of equipment, I'm talking metal stagels, which if you're not familiar with that word, it's like a triangle, like a big ladder with a base on it, but it was wider than a ladder. But if you can imagine like a triangle with bars across, horizontal bars, kids could climb up and then lift their leg over and come down. So I had like four of those. I had some like movable wooden, long wooden pieces that kids could drag around the yard. A structure that was like a loft of sorts that you could climb up and be on the top with this metal, like a safety bar around you, but then there was a big tire swing under it. I mean, four, five, six huge pieces of large motor equipment. And within a week, the language from these kids skyrocketed. And
was it like, damn, I broke my leg?
Yeah, right? Yeah. No, it was very directional language driven, you know, over, under, through, and a lot of falling down and being willing to get back up again. And my point is that had I realized that I could be conducting your own research, I maybe would have asked the question of, huh, I'm wondering what the insertion of this equipment might do. How might this change what's going on here at the program? So the question might have been very, very broad, but then, you know, you put this equipment in and you start noticing right away that language is increasing and risk taking is increasing and stamina is increasing and nap times are longer because they're moving their bodies so much. I just think it could have been a very ripe opportunity to capture some actual data and say, hey, you know what? It's not just anecdotal evidence that large motor increases some language. But it's here's some data. Mm-hmm. You know, this kid had, you know, this many words in their repertoire, and after this experience, they went from speaking in one, two words to full sentences. Yeah. Or shy, more inhibited children who started to show more risk-taking.
Yeah, yeah. We had an experience kind of like that, too, that I wish I would have collected more hard information. I mean, we've got the anecdotes.
Yeah.
And I mean,
yeah.
We've talked about the difference between types of research. So, I mean, those anecdotes are valuable bits of information and knowledge on their own, but having a little bit more formal kind of
numbers.
Collection.
Numbers,
yeah, yeah, having the numbers might have been better. We, and I mean, I don't know why this was ever the rule, but we used to have a keep the sand in the sandbox rule. And I mean, that is a rule that exists in lots of places. And it's a rule I grew up with, and I've talked about it on the show before. And then one day we decided, well, we're not gonna have a meeting about it. We're just gonna stop saying no because they're always taking the sand out of the sandbox because apparently the sand needs to travel. And I just assume there's some sand parasite that gets into their heads and it's bring me over there, sand ghosts, whatever. And so we just quit saying no to it, and sand play exploded. Mm. When the sand gets to go wherever it wants. And so instead of a kid tiptoeing with a bucket, just kind of looking out of their corner of their eye to see if I'm watching them, we let it go. And then they're strutting like, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm the boss of the sand. And then the sand is on the slide and the sand is in the bushes and I'm running over piles of sand with the lawnmower and all of that. But like you're talking about, the play exploded, the language, the experimentation, because you can do more stuff with sand when the sand can go visit over mm-hmm. here and go visit over there.
So the child's engagement was just so much more personal investment.
Yeah, and we found around, we were spending, instead of refilling the sand every year and a half, we did it annually. And I mean, so it wasn't a big expense like you think it's going to be and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And so it was a non thing. And I start wondering, why didn't we do this 5 or 10 yeah. years ago? And if I would have had the forethought, there could have been probably some ways to track some of the changes that took place a little bit more formally, using some of the documents we've talked about in past episodes. But yeah, those moments and again those stories you carry with, remember the time we did this and mm-hmm. then this happened, they can be used to inform your practice in other ways in the future, but maybe a little bit more structure to that process would be beneficial when you're going about it. And so you having the opportunity to learn from going forward in your practice as listeners, learn from the kind of the opportunity. We didn't drop the ball, but it could have been a bigger learning experience, I think, for us, right?
Well, I think, excuse me, knowing what I know now, it could have actually been a master's thesis investigation level of research, in the sense that
you're such a nerd.
I know, but I think about it, it's like, oh my God, I missed this opportunity. But you know, you didn't know what you don't know. But even to our listeners, I need you to really, I'm not saying that you need to go spend $10,000 on a fixed structure.
No.
That's not what I'm saying. The variable, and that's an important research word, the variable that would need to be explored deeper, this was like 1950s, 60s, like risk, like stuff that was technically, they were calling it illegal at the time. So to get your hands on this kind of equipment now would probably be absolutely impossible. And so that would need to be explored if you continued investigating. Like if you just said large motor equipment increases language development, you'd have to put some parameters on that. Because I would venture to guess that the element of risk that was inherent to some of this old antique-y yeah. galvanized steel equipment would be present in that, but not necessarily present in some of the stuff that now you would buy, you know, at a playground resource catalog.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that would just need to be explored if you were going to make that statement.
Yeah. So,
is it all large motor equipment that leads to language development, or was that risk component a bigger variable than you thought? So, yeah.
Any other missed opportunities for research?
Oh, I'm sure that probably. Yeah, but let's not.
Yeah, we won't dwell on
it. It's bad pod me sitting here thinking yeah. about what those times might have been. What I will say is that the recent episodes that we did record with Tiffany about your personal research process and going through those steps, it's actually lit a fire under my ass to pay more attention to this and to maybe do some of my own, because I know. Full disclosure, personal disclosure. Sometimes I think that I want to get my PhD. But I don't really want a PhD. I want the opportunity to be engaged in exploring. I want to be able to explore some questions that I have. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
so sometimes I think I overshoot the mark when really there probably would be room for me to just conduct some research.
To do that without doing
actually having to jump into a PhD program. So
yeah, yeah. Well,
I personally took something away from our podcasting the other day.
Well, and the last episode we talked about the Playvolution site. I would love at some point for that site to evolve into a place where those kinds of resources can be shared there. Hey, I got this interesting question. Anybody want to help me figure out an answer?
Mm-hmm.
And that could become a platform for that. And then results could be shared there. But also, it's a place that the process could grow as well. So
and I think also networking. I think even though it's online, I think that potentially now with all the platforms that we have, you know, you could have somebody from another country be like, yeah, I'd like to explore
that. I'd like
to
check that out. Yeah.
Let's figure that out.
Yeah. So this episode is mostly about just kind of a check-in on that personal research process, and how we had missed opportunities to do a little bit more of it is pretty much what the
yeah. And had this been on my radar,
yeah,
you know, I might have been like, hey, whoa, we're introducing a huge variable here. Let's collect a little bit of pre and post data and see if we notice anything.
Yeah. So maybe the takeaway from this episode is just check in with that process again. It's been a bunch of episodes back that we first introduced it. And as you're going about your day, think about, you know, what interesting questions could I ask about this bit of learning or activity that's going on in our settings right now.
And tell them where they can get a copy of this.
We
if they're
will.
Listening.
We will. It's just I can't remember what it's called. What's the
personal
name of
research process?
Yeah. So on the PlayVolution HQ site, we put together the page that's a personal research process. And if you search that, those three words, personal research process, the PDF will come up, and probably the links to the podcast episodes we did before with Tiffany and all of that, and you can kind of start doing your own research. Anything else to wrap this one up?
No, thank
you. Hey, this has been the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Back soon with another episode. Come over to ECE Live Wednesday evenings on the interwebs. We're hanging out and we're chatting via the internet. You can find the link. Go to Ooey Gooey Inc. on Facebook or Explorations Early Learning on Facebook. Click events. Find the ECE Live event. And there's a hyperlink there that'll take you to...
It's a hyperlink.
It needs Ritalin. That's how hyper this link is. And he's more outside play. You click that hyperlink and you can join us Wednesday evenings at 7:30 Central. And we're online and we're chatting. And you can turn on your video and your microphone and you can talk to us and look at us and let us look at you. Or you can just kind of hover in the background and kind of observe. And there's no wrong way to participate. Just come over and hang out if you want to. Back soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.